We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time. T.S. Eliot. My name is Troy Klein, and welcome to another special Sun Earth Day podcast. In the last Arctic Impressions podcast, we got a little taste of life in Barrow, Alaska, through the eyes of a middle school teacher from Rockville, Maryland, Dorian Jenny. On each day of Dorian's incredible journey, she kept a journal of her experience complete with descriptive text and imagery that she then emailed back to her students in Maryland. In today's podcast, Dorian will read day two from that journal, where she describes a wonderful visit with one of the resident families in Barrow. We've also included a dynamic interview with a real whaling captain and his wife, as conducted by student reporter Kara Mayo. Don't forget to visit the Sun Earth Day website for more information and the phenomenal imagery directly related to each of these podcasts. So let's get started. Here's Dorian.
Greetings from the top of the world on day two from Barrow, Alaska. When I was on the plane heading from Fairbanks to Barrow yesterday, I met a really nice family who lived in Barrow. Their dad was named William, and he was originally from Nashville, Tennessee. His wife, Flossie, was Inupiat and had lived in Barrow all her life. They had two children, Joey, age 6, in first grade, and Desiree, who was 11 and was in sixth grade. The kids told me all about living in Barrow and eating whale meat and all kinds of things that they really loved about living in Barrow. They'd been gone for a month, visiting relatives over winter break, and had gone away on vacation where it was warm and sunny, and they were really happy to be getting back to the good old cold. Their parents told me to give them a call when I got settled in my hotel, and they would give me the name of one of their good friends who would take me on a tour of the town area. So, I did give them a call, and today, Bunna and his son Edward, age 2, took me on a wonderful 6-hour tour. Bunna gave tours of this area for about 10 years and knew everything about the wildlife, the geography, and the culture of the people in this area, and I learned so much. The weather report said that it would be much colder, a high of 18 degrees and a low of -3. Brrr. This is an absolutely gorgeous part of the country that I had only seen in pictures before. Actually, being here is an amazing experience. This town is in the most northern part of Alaska and is part of the tundra. There are no trees or any sign of vegetation at this time of year, but I was told that there is some lichen for the caribou herds just under the snow in the tundra. Everything is white, just white stretching on and on as far as the eye can see. It is beautiful. When Bunna showed up around 11 a.m., the twilight was just beginning to lighten up the landscape, although again today the sun would never rise above the horizon. We began our tour by driving out of town a little ways to see if we could find any animals. One of the things we saw on our tour was a whalebone arch. This is not advertising for the local McDonald's. As a matter of fact, there are no fast food restaurants in Barrow. These are actually whale bones from a bowhead whale that was caught by Inupiat whalers using the small boats, called skin boats, that are located to either side of the arch. The Inupiat are the name of the Eskimo tribe that has lived here in Barrow for the past 5,000 years. Most of the 4,000 people who now live in Barrow are Inupiat. After we went to the whalebone arch, then we went out to look for polar bears on the tundra and by the shores of the Arctic Ocean, but we didn't find any. However, we did see many snowy owls. They are mostly white in the winter and can have a few spots. When they fly, they can have a 5-foot wingspan. They hunt lemmings, which are little mink-like mammals that are also white in the winter. The female snowy owls have some brown markings, and Bunna referred to this as having some peppery coloring. The snowy owl is Barrow's special bird, and there was a sign that welcomes people to Barrow and has an image of the snowy owl on it. Apparently, originally, Barrow meant town of the people who hunt the snowy owl. However, they don't hunt snowy owls anymore. Barrow does not have any roads that you can drive on to get here or to any other town, so the only way to get in and out of Barrow is by airplane. That is pretty expensive, so there are some people who have never left Barrow. Because Barrow is so isolated and is such a small community, all of the people in the town know each other. They do many fun things, like getting together on New Year's Eve and having fireworks, getting together and playing games like races and shows of strength and Christmas, and they have many contests and games throughout the year. In the spring, most of the townspeople get together for a big whale hunt. They take the skin boats out, which are made of wood, and use the skins of seals stretched across them to float. They make these boats during the long, cold winter. When they catch a whale, they share it with everyone in town. Now we're going to listen to an interview from Kara Mayo. Kara is an 11th grader from a high school in Maryland who came out to Barrow, Alaska for this conference as well. Kara interviewed a whaling captain and the captain's wife. Listen now to what they say about whaling here in Barrow.
Pagalagipin is like I welcome you.
That's kind of like hello.
Hello is kind of like universal,
right?
You know.
Okay.
Pagalagipin and ilan nigulo or akagulo or is see you later, you know. There's really no goodbye. It's always
until next time.
It's until next time. Yeah, mm-hmm. See you later. Akanlo, akanlo. Later. See you later. Akanlo.
Are there any traditional phrases that, I mean, kind of like go in peace or that you say?
Yeah, I think there is. Nalain is take it easy, you know. Tatuginyamigpin is like I'll see you some other time. Here's one you might want to learn, mm-hmm. and it's called, how you say it is, makimaktunga.
Makimaktunga.
Yeah. And that means pretty much me no comprende. So if somebody says something to you in the Inupiaq language and you say makimaktunga, you're saying, I can't understand what you're saying.
So, I'll remember that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Alrighty.
So my question is, what are some of your traditional celebrations and what do you do?
The main traditional celebration that we have as part of a whaling community is the Nalukatak, the summer blanket toss festival.
Blanket toss. What do you do there?
That's where we serve the muktuk and the meat and mm-hmm. fish and anything that's been caught over the year. The whaling captain will have his crew cut it up, and it's a whole day event. We start off serving soup, mm-hmm. duck soups that we've caught during the springtime, and then we serve bread and crackers and stuff. And then later on in the afternoon, we serve mikigak, which is fermented whale meat that's been taken care of, and you really have to take care of it because it's raw.
Right.
And then we also serve the muktuk and the akikak, which is the whale's tail, all cut up into serving size pieces. Mm-hmm. And then later on, we serve desserts, cake, pies, mm-hmm. and siranak, which is the dried fruit that we boil up with sugar and cinnamon.
Yep.
And it's really good. Usually, how we serve the whale traditionally is when you first harvest the whale, you boil up all the organs, mm-hmm. a lot of the meat, and a lot of the muktuk. And then that, half of that is set aside to be served during the Nalukatak.
Mm-hmm.
So usually you only have the boiled muktuk and meats and organs, and then you have the raw frozen meat and raw frozen muktuk.
Okay. Great, thank you very much.
Okay.
There is a very special treat that is made from the whale blubber that is called muktuk. Bunna invited me to come to his house to meet his mother and try some muktuk, so of course I did. Bunna's mother's house looked very small from the outside, which is pretty typical of houses in Barrow. Because they need to keep them warm throughout the long, cold winter, they have small houses which are built up off the ground and have a lot of insulation. Once I got inside her house, it appeared to be absolutely huge because the ceiling was two stories high and let in lots of light. She had beautiful Eskimo masks hanging up on the walls and showed me a really neat video show of the whale being caught. Then she served up the muktuk. It was very interesting. I think it was probably an acquired taste. I'm not sure that I'll be going out and buying whale meat myself, but I was really happy to try it. What did muktuk taste like? Well, it had a very strong smell. Definitely reminded me of the ocean. And it tasted kind of chewy and definitely had a really strong fish flavor. Bunna's mother had boiled up the muktuk and served it along with some of the whale mussel meat. In her freezer, she has many bags of whale meat to last through the winter, and each family digs a small room in their backyard and uses this freezer to keep their fish and whale meat frozen throughout the fall, winter, and spring season. Groceries are very expensive in Barrow because everything must be flown in, so people try to live off the food that they catch. When we were in the grocery store, I noticed that a small loaf of bread was $5.45, and a gallon of milk was $9. I guess I would be eating a lot of muktuk if I lived in Barrow myself. Little Edward, Bunna's 2-year-old son, loved the muktuk, and he ran around eating it as though he were eating potato chips. During the long winter, the sun rarely rises, and it is twilight for only about 4 hours every day. So many of the people in Barrow use that time to fix their boats for the whaling season and to work on beautiful handmade crafts. They also have a health club, an indoor tennis court, an ice hockey rink, and a covered swimming pool in town. At the elementary school, there is an indoor playground for the children to play on during recess. Well, I'm looking forward to going back and getting a good night's sleep, and we'll see what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow I'm going to be able to go to the local high school and do some lessons, along with a NASA educator, so I'm really looking forward to that. Signing off for tonight, Ms. Janney here at the Top of the World.
We would like to give a special thanks to Dorian for taking the time to share her incredible journey with us. In the next Arctic Impressions podcast, we'll hear from Dorian's journal as she describes her trip to the high school, where she worked with the Sun Earth Day team to teach the students more about the effects of space weather. We are very interested in hearing your questions and comments about the Sun Earth Day podcast. If you have something to say, send an email to sunearthdaypodcast@mail630.gsfc.nasa.gov. That's sunearthdaypodcast@mail630.gsfc.nasa.gov. Sun Earth Day is a program sponsored by the NASA Sun Earth Connection Education Forum at the Goddard Space Flight Center and at the UC Berkeley Space Sciences Laboratory.
This is Troy Klein signing off.